Welcome to Talking Stations Lounge, where players from all over EVE Online gather to exchange ideas. I'm Matterall. In this program, we sit with another candidate for Council of Stellar Management on the eve of election for CSM 12.
Gecko Hareka, how are you?
Great, thank you. It's a bit early, but that's normal when you're playing Eve.
It's like 4 o'clock your morning, your time, right? 4 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly.
Also, I am not as prepared for this interview as I want to be because you've published a lot of material on your views on things and some very interesting stuff on history. And player-made history and stuff like that, which we'll talk about during this interview. But I'm not going to do it justice because I haven't read through all this stuff. You actually write quite a bit, and it looks like you wrote for Eve News 24 as well, at least one article as a submission. But first, I want to know about you. Like, where are you from?
I'm from Austria.
Oh, and you started playing Eve in when? 2011.
2011, but the first 1.5 years were just mining and getting my feet to the ground and finding a core and stuff like that.
Yeah. What were you doing in that first year? Like, what was going through your mind when you were playing the game? Like,
well, first of all, it was a big confusion. And as strange as that was also part of the appeal of the game, I think. And when I finally found some other clueless people and we tried to figure out stuff together. That really brought us together as a corp too. So I think the learning curve is an important part of the game.
Oh, that's interesting. So the learning curve is part of the bonding.
For sure.
Yeah. And I like the fact that you grouped up with other clueless people in the world. And we're, trying to make your way in high sec, and I imagine mining and building stuff and stuff like that.
Yes, actually, I had the great idea of mining with a hauler because,
I did that too.
You can mine more.
Yeah, totally. Turn it on and walk away.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mining slower was actually a good thing because then you could stay away longer and, I totally did that.
Yeah, it's so fun when I see it now, when I'm warping through high set, I can see some people figuring out this great idea nobody else thought before.
My friend invited me. I was new to the game, and he's like, hey, we have a mining fleet going over here, and this new ship, the Orca, just came out. We're testing it out and all that sort of stuff. And I was like, sure, I'll head over there. So I went over there, and I show up in... Oh, God, what was that ship? It's like the Amar Hauler. It looks like a big fish. And I had the one laser on it. And so it's like showing up to school and you have like a giant paper bag with your little tiny lunch in it. It's like way too much of the wrong thing. And they're looking at me like, yeah, this guy's new. But I love that.
Yeah, me too. I also, it was great when I first could fly the Osprey.
Yes.
By the way. It is directly from Firefly. Nobody else can tell me otherwise. And the second thing, besides mining, that was really great was when I first saw a Noctis in action. I was mining with a Thresher with, 6 or 7 salvagers, and I thought that's really innovative. And then this Noctis comes along with his tractor and salvages the field I need half an hour to in under 4 minutes. So that was really amazing.
Where'd that octopus come from?
Exactly. And the funny thing is now I'm having a Noctis somewhere, and I think, what else can we do with this ship? Can we fit it for PvP? Can we do something useful with this ship?
Yeah, it's totally like in the garage now. And that's funny. I had the same experience. I was mining out of a little cruiser, and this giant apocalypse battleship came up, and these lasers, 4 or 5 different lasers are blasting and mining, and I'm looking up at this thing, and it looks like it has giant legs, and it's stepping over me as it's like eating the asteroids below me. And it was like this crazy feeling of I'm small in this world. But
yeah, but I think that's that you only get that in difficult games. I mean, I remember the old Prince of Persia game. I don't know if you ever played it, but it was mind-wracking because you had to go through, I think, half the level before you could save it again. And so all those little spikes you would die on would be part of the experience, and you would really get to know them. And I think that's the same with Eve.
Yeah.
You just move around in four or five systems, but you really get to know them. Because you die so much and you have to learn so much that you really get grounded in some region or in some systems.
Yeah. And so you ended up then probably doing the next logical step, which is like, I'm going to put my foot in the water of NullSec, and you went to Providence.
Yeah, actually, we first went to LOSEC because we put up a POS finally. Mm-hmm. And the four jumps out were nerve-wracking, always, and back again. And we didn't even have stations to safely dock off, so oh my god. And then we got war-decked, and we fought them. And finally, AFK helped us out a bit, because they were also in the region, and that's actually how we entered into Providence. And I've been there ever since. It's a fun, dysfunctional family.
What do you like about it?
Actually, I like about it that it is not so pro. Because with a three-year-old, I just can't stay up all night and really wait for the next fleet to go out. So that I can play casual, but I'm in null. And we have small to medium gang PvP going on. Yeah, and sometimes big nightmare fleets.
So it's perfect for your lifestyle now.
Exactly.
Yeah. I like that it's not perfect, which takes a lot of pressure off, right?
Yeah. And I mean, it's like with Brave Newbies in the beginning. We suck, but we have fun. And actually, with Provi now, we suck less. But we are not perfect, and we're not expected to be perfect. And everybody have the perfect fits. I mean, if one ship in fleet has a salvager, it's sort of a mascot and not a reason to shoot the guy.
Right. Yeah. It's funny. I was speaking earlier with some people and how much I miss that. Like the combination of being hungry to get better, but not being good enough to, to be in PL or NC or any of these higher end places. And it just felt like you were climbing up. And then it's almost like you're climbing a tree. When you get to the top, you realize, like, I'm at the top of the tree. There's really nowhere to climb any further. And I really miss that climb. And you kind of, long for it and stuff. So I think if you can find a way to stay in that, not a noob, but not an expert section, that's really where you want to stay as long as you can to keep the pressure off.
That's true, but I also think that Eve is the perfect game because I'm not sure if that works for you, but I'm thinking of 5 to 6 different things I really want to try and I haven't been able to try. Mm. For example, when I listened to one of the other interviews, I really wanted to try the sports aspect, so the tournaments and stuff like that. But yeah. It would be, you have to be really focused then. And forget all the other stuff and really concentrate on that and specialize.
Yeah. Well, so you're there in Providence, and talk to me about this thing that we were discussing a little bit earlier, the player history thing.
Yeah, actually, that's the reason why I'm now in this situation we are talking, which is nice, by the way. But I actually did not think that I would ever be running for CSM because, I mean, who knows me? But it started when they deleted the EVE wiki with all the history. Because when in Providence, we have something like nerds. It has been called EVE in hard mode. Which basically means that we don't shoot on sight, but give people give people a possibility to come out and experience null without having to be part of our.
You don't just kill everybody that shows up. You allow people to live their life there until they do something wrong.
Actually, yeah, and it seems to be really a stepping stone, because most of the major alliances at some time have been part of Provi for at least some time. That's also part of the wiki that I miss, all the history of the different groups, because with CCP deleting that, you don't know their roots, which is sad, actually.
Yeah, you know, every...
So sad.
Yeah, isn't it? Like, every corporation used to have... Not every corporation, but certain corporations used to have a historian. And his job was to write down all the exploits of that corporation. And there are good ones. Like, RKK has a whole page of their first, 2 years when nobody was really watching. And it's all very detailed.
I mean... Yeah, Providence is the perfect region for that, I would say.
Yeah. So the idea...
Ushra Khan, all these old fights about Providence and stuff like that. Yeah. I think it really gives you roots in the game, and it also gives you a reason to fight. And it's a driver for conflict and a driver for innovation and for trying to build something. And that's what CCP really wants. So I was really surprised that they would willingly kill off something that helps drive the game.
Yeah. So the wiki is something that was important to you that was lost, that knowledge base.
Yeah, it was lost. I mean, during the interviews, and listening to all the stuff now in preparation for CSM, I also realized that most of the stuff I learned, I did not learn in-game, but I learned from other players and from out-of-game sites. Mm. So actually, CCP itself is not doing a very great job communicating what you can do with the game. I think Battle Clinic was mentioned. I mean, I got all my fits and all my knowledge about fitting from Battle Clinic, and that's a whole sub-game in reality. It's a little mini-game, like Cheetah Local.
Yeah.
And you know, that's something that they not factor in enough, I think.
Yeah. I used to joke that I wasn't playing EVE, I was playing EVE Mon and Battle Clinic or something.
Yes.
But...
But what does it mean? This mean for the game, really? When most of the FAQs, everything you need to know to really play the game is out of game, and I mean, let's not forget also the maps are out of game.
Yeah, right. That's where all the information is that you use. It does seem weird. Like you really can't play EVE without playing the web browser as well.
Yeah, actually, and that was my entry point for my campaign, really. That I said, okay, we got this player, I call it player history and player lore and player information, but how do we factor that into the game to make it a really living universe? And I had some ideas and wrote out a post and talked to some of my corp mates, and finally I ran.
So you decided, I'm going to do this. I'm going to run and try to influence CCP to pay attention to story by the players.
Story and tools and out-of-game sites. And there's a lot of activity going on. I mean, do you still remember Poetic Stencil? He did one good post that I remember. Oh. Besides all his shit posting, and that was about all the great EVE parodies. I mean, half of the context of the EVE parodies, you do no longer understand if you don't have the history. I just realized, you know.
Yeah.
Also some of Sindelpellion's texts or something. If you don't know who they're making fun of, it's still a great song, but you're missing out.
So what you're talking about then is the context of all the activity in-game and outside of game of the players, like finding a way to keep the context so that these things can be understood in the way they were understood at the time.
Yes, and if you have, if if you have a way to this being understood as they were meant at the time, you also have a way to factor them in again for driving conflict. For example, when I think the Sound of Mind thing in Providence, I don't know if you even realized it, but it for a time it was a nice content driver in Providence. Mm-hmm. And they tried to play on the lore, actually. They said, okay, we have this region, these Marians are occupying it, and we are making a free station in the middle of that region. Come, help us. And there were a lot of people just jumping on that wagon, using the lore to drive conflict. And so all of this started because of player history. And so how can we factor this into the game a little better? I mean, how can we give, for example, Providence a possibility to, if there are new visitors, how can we in-game tell people what Providence is, what we are doing, so they get information in-game, or at least mm-hmm. get a link in-game to the content out of game? That would be the minimum I would expect CCP to factor in.
Or it doesn't, like, it may not matter how you achieve it, but this is the goal, is to integrate better the player story so it doesn't feel like a totally different narrative than the in-game narrative. And not yes. that they influence each other, like, you know, an event happens and certain people arrive and, you know, participate in the event and their name goes down in history, but more organically than that, instead of single point things of having, say, for instance, a history of what battles went down in what system, you know, what big battles, notable battles, and by extension, you could say what kinds of ships were used and why, so people could understand the footprints of history that are all over Eve.
That's a very good way of putting it, and I want to give you an example to just show that CCP does not do a very good job at the moment. Remember the Battle of BR. Now we got this nice Titano-Messi in-game monument, mm-hmm. and it's 5 lines of text, and it's no link to outside content, to context, to anything. Mm-hmm. Then if you're really interested and want to research it properly, you enter it into the search engine and you come to a press release from CCP talking about the BR battle and how they lost, I don't know, thousands of dollars of...
300,000
ships.
Yeah, 70 Titans.
The links they are providing for the press now go to the defunct Eve Wiki. See, so they have deleted their own history they used to drive people to the game. So mm-hmm. it's not really smart, and I don't know why they did it.
Yeah. So what would you say? Bring the wiki back or build something like it?
Yes, that's definitely the first step. Bring the wiki back, perhaps in a way that is easier to manage. Mm-hmm. Perhaps separate some of the older stuff from the day-to-day stuff, so that it can be hard to be a moderator on one of those platforms, but still, mm-hmm. it's important. And then find a way to integrate it. I mean, at least offer custom descriptions of structures. I mean, that's not very hard.
Right. Yeah. Give things more depth and make it easier to kind of research stuff rather than going to broken links and dead ends.
Yeah. I mean, that's just frustrating and it's not smart. and see, that frustration led to me being a candidate for CSM. And that's basically... what I started out with, and I built, and everything else that came after was built around that. I mean,
so you seem to be, to me, somebody who really enjoys like the flavor of Eve, like the complication, the competition, and all these things. And there's more for you to do, but you really enjoy the stuff that's happened before. So it's not like you like being a part of the community, but I think you like being a part of the tradition as well.
Well, you found me out. I'm a historian, so
in real life,
DNA. Yes.
Oh, I love historians. I am too. Well, that's what I studied in university was history.
Yeah.
Well, that's really interesting. So, what do you think about it, like pulling out of Eve and just looking at it as a cyber society or a virtual reality? Like, do you think people in the future will look back on these primitive, you know, ways for us to connect across countries? Like, you're from Austria, I'm from the United States. There's people from all over the world that play this game at different hours. And they all have, because it's one shard, a common history. And do you think people will look at that in the future and say, like, let's look at Eve. This is an example of primitive virtual realities.
Yes, it is. Okay. Now it's getting difficult. First of all, we don't really have a definition of what the internet, the space, the internet is really is. Is it an extension of a national country? Mm-hmm. Is it a space or is it a communication device? And we don't have clarity on that problem. So, but disregarding that difficult question, I would say it is a very primitive step, but a very important step on the way to a digital society in a way. And the funny thing is that it is a one-shard universe is possibly the most important step, because it's also important that you retain your sense of wonder. Mm-hmm. And if you don't understand stuff like seeing the Cyrillic stuff, Cyrillic letters and stuff like that,
mm-hmm. Russian typing in the game, is that what you mean?
Yeah, so that retains a sense of wonder.
Do you mean when you see somebody typing in a different language,
or and you don't understand what they are meaning, and you want to know it and stuff like that?
Yeah.
There's a history behind it.
That's interesting. Yeah, because I like you and I think see things the same way, and that is that we want to have a completer understanding than, or a more complete understanding of something, not just what we see today. And I look at it now, and I've been here long enough to know there was a history before me, and I saw a lot of the history that is just history for other people. I lived it, but I can see other people think of it as history and don't really go that far into it. And so when they talk about this happened in Eve when they weren't here, it's almost like a lot of stuff, a lot of the nuance is left out that I'm sure is the same for people who were here in 2003 when they talk about the first 3 years of Eve. I'm sure I don't really understand the way it was because they're not explaining how primitive the tools were, how primitive the tactics were, how few people were actually fighting in these battles that were reported to be huge. And just like real history, you have to feel, if you're thinking about like medieval history in Europe, you have to feel the mud. You have to feel the smell, or you have to smell all the manure in the ground. You have to like... to really get a sense of what it might have been like. It's not just shiny armor and beautiful women who are well-bathed. That kind of stuff isn't real. But when it's presented to us, it feels very flat because it looks like it's what, if we had the tools that we have today, that's what it would have looked like. But in reality, if you really want to know what it was like, you need to have all the grime and the bad metalwork and that kind of stuff that happened back then.
Actually, it's both. I mean, look at the historical battle of Tours and Poitiers. Mm-hmm. It was like the battle between a clash of cultures. But in reality, it was just a small battle that was later symbolically with a lot of advertisement by both sides stylized as a very important battle. And I think we see something like that exactly in Eve, and that's something that appeals to me, because I see patterns, I see all these little historical gems that I can identify and that resonate with me. So that's a lot of fun. And I mean, if also the funny thing with the economy, that we had an economic clash in Eve, and just years later we had the same economic clash because of different, similar reasons, in Iceland in real life. So that's also something that appeals to me.
Oh, that's very interesting. Yeah, how real life affects Eve. Yeah. Well, that's cool. So that would be like your, you know, the way that you would want to influence CCP and the CSM is don't forget about the importance of player history.
That's basically what I would like to remind them of. I mean, I know we are a focus group, mm-hmm. but as far as I know, the next changes will be content changes. I mean, they're talking about the billboard, they're talking about a new division that puts out player submitted videos and stuff like that, as far as I could piece together. So when they are trying to reform content, I want to be there. And I think that's the year actually for it. So, and if you know how the development cycle goes, we have to integrate the changes now, or at least the hooks, so that the changes can implement it later. Otherwise, we'll wait for 10 years, and I think that wouldn't be great for Eve.
So now is the time for a candidate about history.
Yeah. Well, now is the time to talk about this topic. Even if I'm not getting elected, at least I put a lot of information out, and I think people read it and have read it. People think about it, and people will bring it up with CCP. So that's a win in any case.
Awesome. Well, Gecko, good luck on your run.
Thank you very much, and I think I'll go back to sleep. Great that you're doing all this work for us. That's cool.
Thanks. And yeah, I think that's probably a good idea. This was all a dream.
Beautiful, beautiful dream. And now the sleepers are coming to get me.
See you, man. Thanks.